CliffCentral.com. Well, that was an interesting intro. Good morning to you, and to you, and especially to you. When I heard myself introduce myself, I thought it was quite weird.
I thought it was brilliant.
I know. I was like,
how does he do it?
This is Spotlight, me, Alan Ford, and I was like, that's not me, really. hey, this is what you call a gremlin in the system. It's called ESCOM, actually, in general society. But, it's good to be with you this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. The weather is beautiful in Johannesburg.
Did he say Thursday?
Tuesday. What are we on?
You said Thursday.
I don't know. I've lost my mind.
Another gremlin.
I want to tell you something. I have been, and I'll Craig O'Barney, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here again.
So you remember I said, if you heard us a couple of weeks ago, Craig's going to be joining us, and we're going to turn him into, well, a co. We want to make him a radio show host.
Ooh, what do you think, guys?
I think it's a great idea. I mean,
it'd be a waste of the beautiful face, though. So.
Oh, come on, man. Aww. It's a beautiful face, but I mean, we've got to start somewhere. Then I'll create him. You'll be the next Jay Leno.
Ooh.
I'm a producer. On that note, we'll be talking to the guys from the producer. We'll have a chat with Alan Committee in a moment. Craig, good to have you with us.
Awesome to be here. Thanks, sir. Great to be here. Thank
good you. To be close. Yes. I love, by the way, what you did with Jeremy Mansfield.
And a lot of fun, eh? It was a lot of fun.
The makeup, Jeremy, I love you, my brother, but you're not pretty. Sure.
And you think makeup could make things a little better, but no, it went the other way.
John didn't look bad, though.
John looked awesome, and so did MZ.
Yes.
Yes. So, now, I'll tell you, it looked amazing, but Jeremy was too funny. But he was up for it, and he was doing his best sweet transvestite. I think he would do a fine sweet transvestite, actually. But yeah, the makeup did not... Or what the makeup enhanced should not have been enhanced. Put it that way.
Point completely taken. Craig O'Barney is so good. We'll chew some fat about what's happening.
And yes.
We've got Valentine's Day this week.
Yeah.
Let's see who we're going to be kissing. Well, you're kissing everyone on stage because you're doing Frankenstein.
I'm kissing everybody. Men, yeah. Women, you name it.
You name it. You're doing it. So happy to have you doing this. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And we're going to chew the fat about State of the Nation's happening this week. And also we're going to chat about Loving You, a new show, Daphne's Place. You know, Daphne's Place, Craig, it sounds like an Indian restaurant in Fordsburg. It's not. It's just Daphne's Place, which is, of course, the Orton General Theatre in the Square. We're going to chat to Daniel Geddes about the phenomenal Here's to You, which is a tribute to Simon and Garfunkel. Kathy Specific.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, the two of you are like kindred spirits.
Yes. Now, we have connected recently because of old Rocky, but it was awesome to see. And I also went to Gate 69 when I was there, which was great.
It is great.
It's a fantastic place. We love it.
Did you see the Three Blind Mice?
Yes.
How brilliant are they?
Awesome.
They are brilliant. Yeah. And they come back to the stage with a new show called Non-Specific, and they're opening, by the way, in Johannesburg.
They're coming to Joburg, aren't they? Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Dolly's a musical, so it's going to be great. And Rudy and the whole team is brilliant there. Really, really, some incredible stuff. And then we'll talk to Jacob van Rensburg. Alice in Wonderland opens upstairs. So good things happening. And welcome to the show. Yeah, it's good to be with you. I want to open the show with Alan Committee. He plays Max, that very famous Nathan
Max
Lane.
Bialystok.
Yes, in The Producers. Alan Committee, welcome to the show.
This is lovely. It's been too long. How are you, 40?
I'm so good. And isn't it great to have a co-host in Craig O'Barney?
Listen, this makes the morning almost perfect because it's a bit early, if I'm honest with you. Mm-hmm. And it's always a pleasure to chat, but it becomes so much more so when Craig O'Barney's on the other end of this telephone call.
Morning, Earl.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing great, thanks. How's it going that side?
Yeah, really good. You saw us in the heart of rehearsals, and it was going really well. It's been a very technical get-in, but I'm happy to tell you that the previews have got kind of successively better each night. We had our last one last night, and tonight we opened the press.
Fantastic.
You're opening to the press tonight, and it's, of course, The Producers.
Yeah.
But I want to just touch on something, Ellen. We weren't able to connect, but I heard Lion King was brilliant, your one-man show.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, rave reviews.
I can vouch for that. I saw it, and
did
he was phenomenal.
It?
He was brilliant, as usual.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Craig. Yeah, we had a great run, and it was... we will be coming to Joburg. We'll be in Joburg, which is really for final dates, but it looks like we'll start the second week of July and run for about 6 or 7 weeks. So as soon as I know that, I will be back on the show and tell you more details, but excited for that because it was a great kind of stand-up show in terms of the response of the crowd, but just lots of fun, and I'm excited to bring it to Jersey.
Now, we'll get you in studio, and we'll chat to Alan Committee in studio, yeah. And we'll have some fun. We'll chew the fat when you come to Johannesburg. But now the producers, how did you get involved in it, and you're playing the lead role as Max?
Yeah, it's a production I've loved for many, many years. It first came to Broadway in early 2001. It's for those who don't know, it's based on the Mel Brooks 1970s movie, and that movie starred Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel, and it was a movie that only had one song in it, famously Springtime for Hitler. It's a movie about a couple of producers who try and put up in the worst show ever in history, the most tasteless and awful show, in order to create a flop because they think financially they can make more money from a flop than they could from a hit. And sadly what happens is people look at that tasteless piece of awfulness and decide that it's good, and so by implication the two producers suddenly find themselves having committed fraud. So that's the basic plot. And that movie was such a success in the 1970s that Mel Brooks then wrote a Broadway musical with 15 or 20 songs, and it was a huge hit in early 2000s and won many. In fact, it was a record number of 12 Tony Awards. Then went to West End and subsequently kind of been performed all over the world. So I've loved the show. I've been talking to Peter for it, about it for many years, and finally we got to put it on in what he calls a bonsai musical. So it's one of those ones where he puts on the smaller stages. This time it's Death in the Bay, and then we move up to Monte Cassino to the final seat. Yeah, we've got this phenomenal cast of 15 people, amazing talent, you know, Terence Bridgett, Earl Gregory, who's just come straight to us from Kinky Boots, Raquel Mann. It's a fantastic cast, a very exciting young ensemble, and we all play lots of parts. It's mad energy, it's Mel Brooks, so big, broad characters, farcy scenes, you know, what it really is, the typical comedy, musical comedy. It has great comedy scenes, and then these brilliant songs, which people will recognize, and if they don't recognize or haven't heard, will really enjoy them.
Al, I want to ask you something, you know, about playing a character like this when you are also a stand-up. You know, I saw the show in London, and I saw it with Nathan Lane playing your role, and I saw Lee Evans playing the other. And I mean, it was incredible. But what happened for me was Nathan Lane kind of dwarfed Lee Evans for me in terms of energy, right, and presence. And Lee Evans is someone who we know can perform, yeah, a one-man show in Wembley Stadium. Okay, he can control a stadium. But when it came to now, you got to rein in the stand-up element of what you do and actually, yeah, immerse in a character. Is this difficult, yeah, for someone like you that does both?
I think it would be, and it certainly is a challenge. I mean, I'm lucky that I trained as an actor, and that's always been my first love. So I would understand someone like Lee Evans, who I've seen twice live, and as you say, is extraordinary in energy. But he's not an actor first. He's kind of stand-up and physical comedian first, and there's such a skill. And also, you've got to recognize in a musical like this that they're great cameos. You know, Terence Bridgett plays Roger Debris. Mm-hmm. There's Carmen. Yeah, there's these. Schumann Schmidt is also brilliant as the Nazi.
He's playing the German. He's wonderful. Yeah, great role.
Those cameos, you've got to allow them to shine because they also carry the musical. And so you've got to know your place, I think. You've got to know when the scene is yours, when you're driving the scene, when you have to give it over. The guy who's playing Leo Bloom is just fantastic. There's a young guy called Richard White, who I think is going to be a great new talent in this country. He's just super, super lovely and charming, which is the kind of quality you need for the part. Matthew Broderick famously originated this part and has oodles of that. It's a good question, Craig, because I think that's the task. You've got to kind of find the acting chops first. You've got to find, drive the story, play the character, play the truth of it, even if it's a comedy truth. And then what Joe Pitcher, who's our UK director, has allowed is moments in the farce scenes where he says to me, this is a moment where you can go. You can play a little bit, And then, you know, other skills come into play, hopefully.
And there is a kind of slapstick element to some of the comedy. I mean, even in the movie, Nathan Lane, he almost gave a stage performance on screen. Yeah. It's very heightened and it's very physical and it's very in your face. And I suppose that'll kind of that helps as well, that you have funny bones, you know, you naturally are a very funny man.
And then you know when to pull that back again and go, okay, here we're now telling, you know, the musical part of the show. And listen, I know, you know, it's musical theatre is extraordinary, and every time I do one of these, and it's that's 4 or 5 years since I did Little Shop of Horrors, you're reminded of how skilled the triple threats are in this country and around the world. How quickly they pick up a choreography, how, you know, nuanced and fantastic their voices are. So you're working, certainly I find myself working very hard just trying to maintain a standard with them. But in this instance, I love this show because I can also characterize through the singing, so it's about playing it slightly differently, and with the great comedy scenes that are presented, it means I can really go to town and use some of my skill set.
Yeah, and as you say, telling the story, I mean, even if it's through the songs in the musical, it's act singing, isn't it? So, I mean, it's not about you suddenly having to find this big singing voice, not to say you don't have one, but to keep the story, keep driving the story, keep driving the comedy through the songs. I mean, I think this is actually a great vehicle for you. I think it's a perfect role for you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's been lovely. And I must say, even with the audiences, we've had some amazing crowds, nice full houses, before previews, and it's been interesting to watch. Listen, some of the audience have come to this very new. You know, if you're on Broadway or West End by now, just about every audience member will know the show and know what to anticipate. What we've had is some crowds who've seen the movie or know the show and enjoying it on that level, kind of reveling in being reminded of how funny the script is. But we've also watched some audience members coming to this clean and to see the shock and surprise on their face.
Absolutely.
Which is a lot of fun as well.
Alan, the show comes to Johannesburg. It's at the Theatre on the Bay at the moment, and of course it comes to Johannesburg April 3rd at Monte Cassino. Can't wait to have you in studio. We want to get you in to play a bit. Al, can I ask you, what's funny in South Africa at the moment? What are people laughing about? Is Eskom the thing?
Yeah, listen, those are subjects that I think people have to laugh about. I'm not sure that they're choosing to laugh about it or want to laugh about it. You know, what we do as a nation is we're very resilient. And inevitably, we turn pain and tragedy into comedy. It's what great people have done through the years, including, for example, famously Jewish folk, who've always been met with kind of challenges. That's why they've become famously this incredible nation of good-humored people, because that's the way you become resilient. That's the way you deal with it. And we're fast doing that in this country. We somehow, nothing seems to faze us, even though initially, of course, the shock and horror of everything. I'm always astounded how days later, having gone, that's it, that's the end. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day, and the load shedding kicked in, and no one batted an eyelid. The waiters just suddenly turned. Candles were presented, gas.
How quickly we bounce back.
That's it. We bounce back. We go, okay, so it's stage 7 for 2 hours. And it's all lovely. Pass the butter. It's now melted butter.
Now, Alan, you said in your in your show that they go from stage, what, stage 2 to stage, and they skip out about 4 or 5 stages in between. We've never had those stages. Am I right?
No. Well, one of the things we do is we only go 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Well, it's not Eskom. One of the reasons they don't do 1, 3, 5, and 7 is because the government doesn't want anything to seem odd. See, I like that.
Alan, I have an idea. It's the State of the Nation this week. I think we should turn the lights of Parliament off and make the SABC turn off, and no one can watch them and see what happens. How they feel? I mean, that's
no one switches SABC on anyway. So
whoa!
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Alan Committee. We can't wait to see the show and get you in studio. Have a great day, my friend. Go back to sleep.
No, thank you.
Go back to sleep.
Thank you.
Have a great opening. Have a great opening and a great run there. We'll see you in Joburg.
That's Alan Committee. Alan Committee opens tonight, Theatre on the Bay. The producers, do not miss the show. Great, great things. I love the fact that Craig, you know that so many great things happening in terms of theatre in South Africa.
Oh, it's pumping. Yeah,
it's pumping.
There's lots going on.
I mean, you had the even that international Bee Gees tribute show.
Yes, how was that?
I believe it was brilliant. Yeah. It actually means you've been in studio. Yet, unfortunately, I wasn't here for the. You should have done those interviews. Now, when I'm not here and you're not here.
Are they done? They were at
they closed
Marcellus
on Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it was brilliant.
Is that a Showtime?
Showtime Australia.
And they're normally good.
They're great.
Showtime guys. I mean, I think it's hard to find people that can impersonate properly, but they seem to do it. I mean, Belinda Davis is
outstanding,
superb. And there's a new one coming, Prince. I saw posters in Cape Town. There's a Prince Showtime.
Dale Skipper
with Dale Ray.
Dale Ray
the name. Is the stage
really?
Name.
Really?
I like that name.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. I mean, it's one of those things. It's either going to work or it isn't. Caroline Barole is doing Tina.
Carry on talking.
And
load shedding. Government just heard
her. Caroline Barole is doing Tina, and I saw that as well, and that's working. I mean, she does it. That's another tribute show that's working.
So and you see, as we say load shedding, hello, how you doing?
There we go.
Generators will kick in a moment. We've got great guests in the studio. Daniel Geddes, before we get to Drew Becker, welcome. Here's to you.
Back again.
Back again.
Yeah, by popular demand.
I know.
Josh wanted to say that.
Josh, it is by popular.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't at opening night, and I saw closing night, the last run in Johannesburg, and then I saw it in Cape Town, which I was blown away, and I can't wait to see it again.
Mm.
It is a story of the life and times of Simon and Garfunkel, told very, but the narrative's very, very, very brief. It's not a long narrative, but the music's brilliant. And I love the collective band that comes together to make that happen.
All live, all acoustic.
Yeah.
I went over in between Rocky Horror performances in a cap, glasses, and full makeup. and I was looking at the audience thinking, oh, so-and-so is here, and so-and-so is here. And then I thought, why is everyone here today? It was opening. Apparently, I was there, and gate crashed the second half of your opening. And I saw about 35 minutes of what I can only describe as pure, beautiful, integrous, a sort of no gimmicks, nothing fake.
Yes.
Just a pure tribute to possibly some of the greatest songwriters in the world. I mean, and these people are doing complete justice, vocally and instrumentally, to these beautiful, beautiful songs.
Now,
I loved it.
Beautiful music. Okay, so Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Have you had a massage lately?
I've had a massage lately.
I'm not offering, Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I actually had a massage.
Let's talk after. But I mean, so firstly, everybody sings for their supper on this show.
Okay.
Alright, so firstly, would you like a voucher?
I would love a voucher.
It's valued at almost $700.
Sure. Okay. No,
did you use yours, Craig?
I used one. I've got another one.
I've got one for you as well, Drew. But Daniel, this is because it's Valentine's month, okay?
Right.
And we want you to spoil yourself. And Skin Sense Day Spa is one of our sponsors of the show. Mm-hmm. And we get everybody who gets involved in the show to go and have a beautiful 700 experience. So it's but I'll tell you all about the special after you sing us a song. This is what we do. This is what you get. You pay for your. We pay you to sing.
So you want? Would you like something? Something I do on the show?
Let's do something from Simon and Garfunkel.
I'll do something that I think is one of my favorite songs of theirs that I didn't actually know before we did the show, and I think it's so beautifully captures the poetry that Paul Simon has in his songwriting, and then also kind of the quintessentially Paul Simon guitar vibes. And I'm going to stop talking now and let the
take it away.
Music do it.
The last train is nearly due. The underground is closing soon. And in the dark, deserted station, restless in anticipation, a man waits in the shadows. His restless eyes leap and scratch for all that they can touch or catch. And hidden deep within his pocket, safe within its silent socket, he holds his colored crayon. Now from the tunnel's stony womb, the carriage rides to meet the groom and opens wide and welcome doors. But he hesitates, then withdraws deeper in the shadows. And the train is gone suddenly.
on wheels clicking silently, like a gently tapping litany. And he holds his crown rosary tighter in his hand. Now from his pocket quick he flashes the crayon on the wall, he slashes deep upon the advertising, a single word, a poem comprised of four letters. And his heart is laughing, screaming, pounding, the poem across the tracks rebounding, shadowed by the exit light. His legs take their ascending flight to seek the breast of darkness and be suckled by the night.
Sure, that is magnificent.
Yeah, beautiful player.
How beautiful
was
that? That's awesome.
And you know what? You know what happened for me is this: they played five or six songs in a row I didn't know by Simon and Garfunkel, and I love that, because you think you know all their tunes, you know, because they're the obvious hits and there are many. But I loved hearing there's something in Act Two that Josh and Ashley sing together.
The Dangling Conversation.
Yeah. Dangling Conversation. Mm. So moving, so beautiful, so touching.
Yeah. One of the most incredible writers, Simon.
Paul Simon was genius. Yeah. Absolute genius. Did Art Garfunkel write much of the stuff?
Nothing. Nothing that we've encountered.
All Paul Simon.
All Paul Simon, yeah. I'm sure he had contributions, but in terms of the official writing credits.
Really?
And then the little bit I heard as well, you don't want to believe it, but they had such a tumultuous relationship,
they didn't get on.
It's like, we'll get together every 20 years and do a gig.
Yeah, do a couple of songs.
But don't call me in between that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, they couldn't seem to... Yeah. Who would you say was the difficult one in the equation?
Oh, we've actually had this conversation... in the cast, and we're not sure, because when you watch interviews, I mean, Paul Simon's definitely the more dominant personality, and he was the songwriter, the lyricist, and in interviews he's got a slightly a more assertive presence, but it seems like Art Garfunkel seemed like a little bit complicated,
from some of the documentaries, but temperamental.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit OCD, which means you're a bit of a nervous wreck half the time.
Yeah,
and let's talk about this briefly, actually, and welcome now to the show, Drew Becker. Welcome, because you're top director, top musical director. It's great to have you in studio. Oh,
thank you.
And there's a show called Loving You. We'll talk about that in a second. But I do want to, because we're all in this business, you know. But sometimes you get those people that are stronger in that lead role in a duo. Even if you look at radio circumstances, for example, Sam and Jeremy. It's a good example, because Jeremy is your lead. Sam is the foil that you need to make it work. Mm. And sometimes you don't like it when the spotlight is generally going to fade more towards the other person. And it was Paul Simon, more than Art Garfunkel.
Well, I suppose, and because he was the one doing all of the writing. I mean, he's going to be like, well, these are my songs.
And he's saying,
inevitably, he's going to want them a certain way. And,
correct.
And Art might say, but I wouldn't do it like that. I'd do it like this. And he said, well, that's kind of irrelevant, because I wrote it, and this is what I'm hearing.
I remember, I sent a CD when I was at Seminar 2 those days of Art Garfunkel's own... And come on,
it's not the kind of
thing. If you listen to Graceland, which is nothing to do with Art Garfunkel, it shows you that.
He's genius,
but their music together, their voice combination,
the voices. Yeah, what Art brings. I mean, if you even listen to kind of their most recent sort of renditions of Sound of Silence in their old age, like Garfunkel's voice lends something to that song that's really, really, really incredible.
Well, I don't subjective, but I mean, don't you think that? I think he's got a better voice than Paul Simon.
Paul Simon's got a good voice.
Yeah. They both have great voices.
And I mean, I think part of their power was their blend and their harmony. I mean, their harmonies were very beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's what. They both got quite light, sort of light, gentle voices, which is why you guys do these songs so well. Because Josh Ansley, you know, he's got that beautiful mixed sound. And hearing you now, this is early hours of the morning. You sound absolutely beautiful. You need these gentle approach.
People have been at work since 8 o'clock. What are you talking about?
But for a performance, early to sing.
On that note, you got the guitar. We love a human jukebox. Craig, listen, Craig, you're here. I mean, we can't waste that voice. It would be a waste. Don't you think, Drew?
Let's do it.
What is it? Yeah, so we go to Cecilia. I can throw a young harmony in on you there.
Okay.
Throw you in the deep end.
Can I you can do whatever you want.
A little percussion.
You're hosting. Go.
yeah. You're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my knees, I'm begging you please to come home, come on home. Making love in the afternoon with Cecilia up in my bedroom.
Making love.
I got up to wash my face. When I come back to bed, someone's taking my place. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my knees, I'm begging you please to come on, come on home.
Nothing wrong.
Hey,
thank you, Daniel.
Is beautiful stuff, boys. This month is Valentine's month, and it's an extra reason to spoil yourself and your loved one by going off to the Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg. This month's special includes a package deal, including a back, neck, and soldier massage.
Soldier on through your show on this Thursday morning.
I'm intimidated because it's crazy. Manny, pedis, beautiful wash and blows, lots of things happening, and even some bubbly and dessert. Or get a 2-for-1 Swedish massage for the price of $6.55, which means you can take someone with you.
Oh, even better.
So now you can do a double massage.
Can I come every week?
You most certainly
careful what you wish for, Daniel.
Craig got involved. But we need jukeboxes, so don't worry, Dan. Get to cliffcentral.com for more information, plus terms and conditions, or check out www.skinsense.co.za. That's skinsense.co.za to book treatments and even shop online. And so welcome to, you're going to go have a nice... Are you involved? With somebody in life?
Somebody in life.
There's a reason I asked the question. Oh, he's blushing.
He just does this.
I do this.
On air.
It's called...
No warning.
This is called radio. This is what
just,
we do.
Just throws it in. I am, yes. I'm a married man.
So you can take him along to enjoy this.
Yeah. Well...
Have you got kids?
I don't know. Thank heavens I don't have any children.
You don't know or you don't? No. Have you got kids?
I don't have any children. No, I don't actually have any children. That might change when I'm 35 and someone introduces himself to me as their son or something, but my son, but not likely.
Here's the question. The question is, it goes to everyone in this business. It's not easy. Is your partner in the business?
No.
Okay.
No.
But it's not easy in this business to often be married or in relationships, because I mean you're traveling, you're moving all the time.
Yeah, the times can be a really tricky thing to kind of navigate and get right as well. Yeah.
So you got to work on it.
Yeah.
But it can definitely be inventive and fun.
And you're moving around a lot, and that's true of your production, because you guys are, after you do Joburg now, are you going to Durban?
We are going to Durban. We're doing two weeks in Durban at the end of March.
I think that's awesome for Durban. Durban needs some stuff. I would love to take Rocky to the Playhouse. I reckon it would sell out in minutes. But I think it's great that you're going to the Sneddon, aren't you? Which is a beautiful venue.
Yeah. Mm.
I think that's awesome. Durban needs some good entertainment, man. They get overlooked.
They do get overlooked, and of course Andrew Webster's there. So I mean, yeah, he's doing some stuff at Sabaya, I think, or was it Suncoast? I think Suncoast.
Rockwood Theatre, the Rockwood, and he's at Sabaya. Yeah,
he's at Sabaya, and
doing good work and good
and
stuff.
Then occasionally, at least they bring in like the Belinda Davids, they do those pop up shows.
Yeah, but I mean that's a beautiful venue, Playhouse.
The Playhouse is a magnificent venue. Great. Number one. Number two is, I remember at one stage laughing because it was the only city or province that the arts and culture was really doing such great active stuff when it came to the theatre. And I see it has dissipated.
Yeah, it seems to have gone very...
It really was.
It seems to have gone pretty quiet there. Yeah,
I mean, they were even doing the Royal Soapy Awards and those type of things, all from the...
And they used to have the Mercury Awards.
All
there,
of those,
which also just
great
fell
stuff.
Away.
And it's a shame. Yeah. So, I think KZN, after Tanta and the whole Zuma experience, maybe they took too much money from those, from the pockets.
But I think it's great that VR Theatrical are thinking outside the box and taking this fantastic show there. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, beyond Durban, we're spending a weekend after the Joburg run in Sasselburg.
Oh, that is so cool. Where are you going to Graceland?
At the Etienne Rousseau.
Where is that?
Sasselburg.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I thought it was close to Graceland. You know Graceland?
I don't know.
I've been there. I've done
Have you done gigs there? It's actually a very cool spot to do a gig. It's in Secunda, right next to Sasselburg.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So you've got nothing to do, go to Secunda.
Yeah, maybe we'll go, I'm just telling you, to a breakfast show there.
You've got nothing to do much in Sasselburg, so at least besides work and perform.
When we looked up Sasselburg, the Etienne Rousseau Theatre is like number one in the top five things to do in Sasselburg. So, you know, we're going to be...
It's also number two, three, four,
and five. Yes,
stop
Craig.
Stop it.
This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford with the one and only Craig Obani. It's good to be with you here on Spotlight. And of course, we're talking the magic of entertainment, be it musicals, movies, be it rock concerts. I heard some great stuff. Aha's coming this weekend.
Oh, yes. I wanted to see them, actually. I'd love, because some friends sent clips of them from the UK, and he's still nailing it, eh?
No,
Morten Harkett is singing up there in the gods where he does, and sounding pretty good doing it at this late stage. So, wow.
And we're talking about some great productions, Loving You. Drew, we're going to chat to you in a second about Loving You. We're also looking at the brilliant Here's to You, a tribute to Simon and Garfunkel. We're going to chat in a moment to Jaco van Rensburg about Alice in Wonderland. But on the line, I've got a friend of yours. Someone that knows...
How do you do?
Well, I don't know. Ask him how he does.
How do you do, Brandon? You can't escape me.
Bonnie, how are you?
Oh, hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, and how are you?
Nice.
The incredible Brendan Van Rijn, yes. And I've got him online with Craig Obani. Both of you acclaimed award winners across the board for many productions that you've done, but... Interesting, the last time that this was very commercial was Frankenfurter, was Brendan, and now it's you.
Yes.
Did you see Brendan in that role, by
Absolutely,
the way?
Loved him. Loved him, loved him, loved him.
Brendan, have you seen Craig?
I've seen him twice.
And what do you think?
Absolutely, and loved him. Absolutely. Comic tie. Yeah, divine. It's so wonderful. I mean, it just completely embraces the role, but so wonderful to see how many things we do the same and how many things we don't do the same, which is so divine. Congrats, Craig.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
And on a super run as well.
Yes,
I mean,
it's going well.
Isn't that just I always used to say to people, who I still do. I say there's a bit of Frank in all of us. There's just a hell of a lot more in me.
Absolutely. No, you were awesome. I loved you in it, and I realized two things. One, that I completely agree with you. Whoever plays it, there's certain things that you kind of will do the same and certain things that you'll do completely differently.
Sure.
And the other thing I realized is I will never be as tall as you in heels. I don't know. It seems no matter how tall the hill I get, Brendan Van Rijn is always a good few inches taller than me.
And there's a lot
I'll take that one, thanks.
So as you said, there's a lot of Frank, a bit more Frank in Brendan. Brendan, who's he? Is Frank who?
Oh,
are you dating? Frank. It's Valentine's B.
Alan, I was going to say, I haven't had Frank in me for a while. So
okay.
Daddy.
I know. It's like when I say I'm in George, but I'm in the city town of George. Oh, goodness. This is just to another level. Brendan, I'm so excited because the trolley... Craig... You saw the three blind mice.
Yes.
Now I want to know what the next thing is. It's going to be the three bears, Goldilocks and the three bears, or Goldilocks and the three
possibilities
bears.
Are endless. I mean, let's face it.
Possibilities, and if it's not the three something, we'll make it the three something.
The three stooges, the three.
I'm just so excited that you're coming to Joburg. You guys are coming here.
Yeah, and we are absolutely. You know, the Joburg hasn't seen the trolley dollies for almost 10 years.
Wow, has it been that long? And then what's going to happen at gate 69 if the three of you are here? Mm. What's going to happen then?
So we will be closed as part of our annual leave. So closed there for 2 weeks, and then us three girls are off to Johannesburg. You know, we started in Madame Zingara almost 10 years ago, and that's the only time Joburg's ever seen the three of us together. So they've all been begging us, you know, to come and jet in and do a safe landing there, and we listened, and we're on our way.
That's going to be brilliant. And there's no rest there, Brendan. You take time out of your hugely successful Gate 69, where you guys are non-stop. I mean, you're packing out. I don't think I've ever tried to make a call or get a booking there that you're not, you know, packed to the rafters. But on your off, so to speak, you're going to hit Joburg and grace us with some fantastic drag comedy.
Quite right, absolutely. The show is called The Trolley Dollies, a musical, and it runs at the Joburg Theatre, so it's a wonderful venue.
Awesome.
Listeners might remember it as the old Fringe or the old Tesson, but it's now known as the Lacerdy Theatre. And I did a run of Kathy Specific there many years ago. It's a super space, just over 250 seats. Perfect. What the three of us do.
Yeah, it's a great size venue, actually, for what you guys do.
So it is a great venue, and the thing is that it's a different experience to Gate 69 and a different show, because this week you just opened Non-Specific.
Correct.
The three of them have just opened their new show. Because I was so happy to see the closing night again. I'm rushing to get to see these things. To see the three blind mice.
Yeah.
I loved it, but Tessa Denton, superb stuff.
Yes,
I mean,
awesome.
Just the whole ensemble. But specifically, I want to go to Gate 69 quickly, because Gate 69 is such an interesting experience. First, you walk down the red carpet in the center of Cape Town to this tall, beautiful...
And you're met by the one and only, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Drag queen, who's you. All right. And then all of a sudden, you walk upstairs to this beautiful dinner theater where your waitrons are the cast. Okay.
Absolutely, yes.
And
yes.
Then they give you a last shots and your food's on the table and they're packing and cleaning, and next thing they get up on the stage and they start performing for an hour and a half. And then they get off the stage, people go completely crazy, and then they come back and serve and give you a bowl.
dirty plates and glasses.
What made you, because it's award-winning stuff, by the way, but what?
Thank you.
What made you to work the ground as well as the stage? What made you also actually work the, you know, actually serve?
It was our idea right from the start. We just thought, you know, we wanted the whole evening to be interactive and sort of appear the same. So the experience you have downstairs is not the different experience to perhaps, you know, what you have before the show or during the show or after the show. We started with real girls being your waitresses, dressed as air hostesses, pillbox hats, only because when you try and get a business like this off the ground, we sort of ran out of time to prepare ourselves as being waitresses. But you know, when a 6 foot, you know, 9 drag queen says you'll have a bottle of Moe, you don't. You have the bottle of Moe.
That's what I love, Brendan, is that you don't sort of come and wait on tables out of character. You are from the moment we arrive, you are the characters.
Completely in character.
So the experience begins at the door. That's it.
Quite. I mean, some people are sort of, I think, taken back, especially with Christopher, as she's the, you know, she's the bitch of the group.
She can be standoffish.
yes, quite. And she's like that as a waitress.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Rudy's a slightly ditzy one.
Rudy dropped glasses. He always drops falls in the show somewhere.
Right.
He actually is still clumsy.
I tell my tables that I'm not the world's best waitress. I'm only here for the glamour. So, in fact, lower your expectations, in fact, and lose them altogether. So if I do make a mistake, I'm covered.
But it is brilliant to see. And I must say, I mean, Brendan, it means that you're getting paid to also perform and getting tipped really well.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, come on. You can't, like, have the top performer on the stage and then give them, like a 8% tip. You've got, like, 25%. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And there are those who do that. There are those who walk out without tipping. But,
no, you're not serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there are those that walk out without paying as well. But that's another story.
Yeah.
There's a few and far between. But, you know, it's always so great. We came out as sometimes... We would come out as women from the show, but so many people were saying, gosh, I wonder what the boys look like without their makeup. So it's just something else. It's something fresh.
Yeah.
It's another talking point after the show.
That's exactly right. As we get to see you guys afterwards as you are. And I think that it just adds another element to the whole experience, which I want to tell you is for me an extraordinary night out. I love it on every level. The food is good. It's quirky. It's fun from the moment you walk in. The shows are inevitably outrageous. outrageous and entertaining. And I think Gate 69 is a real gem. It's a gem. It is.
Thank you. You know, we're the first ones to say it's an uncluttered, uncomplicated, raw, honest, real evening. It's genuine.
And it works.
You
know, and it works.
You've got three boys just doing what they do. And then the glamorous Luana, you know, who appeals to everyone.
Of course, yes.
You know, she's there as well.
No,
so
it works.
Thank
it works
you.
On
so
every
thank
level.
Thank you very much.
So Non-Specific is the new show just opened. Tell us, what
indeed.
Is it about? So we came from the adult pantomime, The Three Blind Mice, which is crazy. And the boys were hot, I can't lie, in the show. And so was Tessa Denton, crazily hot, but the whole thing
was
crazy. And the music was brilliant, and the singing was brilliant, and the dancing was, the choreography was actually completely on point in heels. It was kind of crazy. But you went from that now to Non-Specific. What is Non-Specific about?
So Non-Specific we've brought back by popular demand. We had a 5-month run of it last year, and you know, the fact that we have been together for 10 years, we decided we have a great story to tell, and it's time that people listened. So Christopher once again has penned the script beautifully, and so you know, writing to our each one's strengths, and it's our coming out stories, and it's us bitching about what it takes to run a theatre and commenting on people in the audience, and it takes place in our dressing rooms.
Yes,
so
it's all in the dressing room.
Completely stripped down. I do my solo, which is a Sondheim number, the ladies who lunch. I do it in my gown and slippers and no wig. It's that real.
It has been said that the show will run and the show will close, but the dressing room could run forever. If only we could have a bird's eye view of what happens in that dressing room. So you're bringing that onto the stage now.
And that's what we're giving audiences, just a little, you know, VIP pass to what happened, what really happens behind the scenes. We've got an incredible 20-minute 80s medley that just has, I mean, people dying for more. So it's a super little musical
and lots of comedy,
and it's relevant. It's you know, some people can draw to take something from it, however big or however small.
Brendan, there's a very important question I have to ask Craig or Barney. What's the most interesting story from a dressing room that you've been in, Craig?
Oh, no, I'm not going there. I've got very interesting stories from dressing room.
Come on, Craig.
No, but it's always that thing.
Craig's
where
not saying anything
I'm
that
saying
involves the two of us.
Yes, exactly.
Have you ever shared a dressing room?
No.
No, we have. No.
Not officially. Not officially. No, but I mean, there's always that thing of, I sometimes just stop and look at what's going on backstage, and you just think to yourself, if the audience could see us now.
That's
a whole nother level of entertainment.
I've had one musical experience of my life, and Craig, you were around.
Oh,
you were upstairs,
word.
I was downstairs. But I've got to tell you,
Debbie
does Dallas the musical. We were naked on stage.
Which I saw as well.
We couldn't get the. It was cuck. It really was naked, naked crap. But I mean, it really was. You know, you used to your own stuff. It was so much fun, and that's where I had respect for people that do this, because it's really difficult to dance, sing, act, remember lines,
naked.
I could produce,
naked.
But naked.
Yeah.
Then the problem wasn't naked. The problem was we couldn't get our thongs on and our stuff on. And so you left pieces off. So the backstage was insane.
I'm sure.
At that exact theatre, by the way, that the Tyson or the what's
yes,
it called?
Yes, that's right.
What's it called now, the new theatre?
The Lacerdi.
It's called the Lacerdi. And speaking of naked, you know, my first production, professional production, I was completely in the nude, 40 minutes.
What was it?
It was at the old Alhambra Theatre. It was The Judas Kiss with Michael Atkinson, the story of Oscar Wilde.
Really? And you were 40 minutes in the buff?
40 minutes in the buff, and I had a Chelsea bun every night. I was still in my third year of studies.
What's a Chelsea bun?
What's the Chelsea bun got to do with anything?
What is a Chelsea bun?
Chelsea bun is the real Chelsea bun.
What did the Chelsea bun have to do with him being naked? What were you using that bun for? So tell us, Non-Specific. Oh, listen, Non-Specific is happening at the moment. It runs until July. Book your tickets. It's worth it. It's a dinner. You get a tequila dessert.
So, Alan, this Non-Specific at the moment only runs 5 weeks. We finish on the 21st of March.
Oh, okay. What happens after that?
Finish on the 21st of March, and then we have our brand new steamy burlesque show called Eros. That opens on the 27th of March, and it'll run until we head off to Johannesburg.
Now, Eros, tell us about that very quickly.
Eros, it's all about love and the progression of it, and many aspects and all the different aspects of it. So more than that, I can't say. The Trolley Dollies will be in it, but not as the Trolley Dollies.
And that's going to be at Gate 69, Brent?
That'll be at Gate 69.
Eros.
Just the three of you
or other people?
There'll be seven of us in the cast altogether.
Well, that is brilliant stuff. The one and only Brendan Van Rain. Do not miss the shows happening. Brendan, always good to chat to you. And
it's so great
to have you and Craig on together because it's the magic of the stuff that you do. Thank you, B.
Craig, rock those heels. Thanks,
see you, my friend.
Guys.
Good luck with it all.
And don't miss the stuff happening at Gate 69 in Cape Town. It's one of those venues that you just cannot not love.
That's a brilliant night.
So now, Drew Becker. Loving You.
Yeah.
What a great musical. First, how did it come about?
So,
because it's an original script.
It's an original concert. It was originated by Sharon Spiegel Wagner, who we did a workshop of it earlier this year at Redfest, and for her it was kind of an exploration of what love means in musical theater and what love means, and we. On top of that, we started questioning, you know, what is love in everyday life? Because in reality, musical theater is just life heightened. Mm. So just to keep it grounded, I think musical theater, that's what I love about the medium, is it's so accessible. So we did a workshop of it earlier this year at Redfest, and it was lovely. And Daphne Kuhn saw the show, and from there approached us about a run here, and we've taken it further. This is a 2.0. It was originally called Love Stages, and it's been kind of reimagined, and we took everything we loved and threw away everything we didn't like, and we've expanded it, and we've expanded the voices, we've expanded the stories that we tell and the music we sing, and it's lovely.
And the music, is it original music?
So we do songs from 20 shows.
Songs from the shows.
From shows. Oh, so the show's actually called Loving You, Songs from the Musicals.
Songs from the Musicals.
And it's a nice balance of kind of stuff that I think South African audiences know and love, and some stuff that I think that they will love. So we've thrown in the Wickeds and that stuff as well for younger audiences. Wonderful. And some newer stuff like Six, and then some older stuff, some Bee Gees and all that stuff for the older audience.
Well, I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse of what's hot in musical theater land, so you'll know which songs to try and sort of incorporate and bring into the.
Absolutely, thanks. I love what we do. I love kind of audiences don't lie. Audiences will never lie, good or bad. And the response has been so nice. It's such an easy hour of kind of music that people love and fall in love with, and it's just exploring love. And there's nothing that you really need to sign your life away to follow. You're not reading War and Peace. You're not doing anything super heady. It's just kind of all things love and kind of an exploration of all things love, which is lovely.
How did you get to South Africa? How did this all start?
I came on holiday in 2012 and never left.
Seriously, that is
for real. So many do.
I was burning out in New York, and I loved doing shows in New York, but I was kind of needed a break, and I came to Cape Town and was like, hi.
And then you met your husband.
And I met my husband.
And your husband's also a top musical director.
Dude, I pale in comparison. Like, Ro is just such an incredible guy, but thank you. He's an incredible guy. He keeps me on my toes, which is great. We kind of keep each other kind of knives sharpening knives.
Have you worked with Rowan before?
I've worked with Rowan, and I've worked with both these gentlemen. They were both working on the auditions for We Will Rock You. And I was going to say now, you know, when you walk into an audition and you see Rowan or Drew behind the piano, if they're helping out musically or if they're just playing for the auditions, you know you're in good hands, and you kind of lean back immediately and go, oh, okay, everything's going to be all right here, because this is a pairing, this is a couple that make a huge contribution to musical theatre.
To both be musical directors and directors.
Superb.
I mean, that is the best thing ever.
Good, yeah. It's good and bad.
You
never go home.
What you may have another perspective on
what
this.
What do you fight about?
Oh, God. We fight about, like, which cast recording is better. We fight about, like, the crazy thing.
Are there two pianos in the house?
In theory, there's, like, three or four pianos in the house. For us, when we met and we had our love story, and kind of I've dated people in the theater who kind of appreciate musical theater, but with Ro, when him and I first started talking, it was, we could listen to West Side Story and say, did you hear that? And like some people I've dated would be like the words and, you know, like kind of generic shit. Sorry. And
Cliff Central, you can say.
And with Ro, it was, you know, you could say, did you hear that? And he actually heard the French horn that I heard.
And you're talking about the same thing.
Talking the exact same. So it's,
you share your passion.
It's really cool.
And it's great that you get, I mean, you have, you're both very good at what you do, so chances are you are going to hear the same kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, because you think about it, you start to talk about things that you can get lost in your own world.
Absolutely.
And that's what the best part of it is. I mean, you wake up in the morning and say, did you hear that bird, that note, and this?
Yes, it was a G flat.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, hey?
What I love is that in this industry, we all work with each other. Mm. You all work across the board. Yeah. Everyone, as you said, you've worked with both Rowan and with Drew. You've worked, have you had the
Rowan taught me when when I was studying, did a bit of musical theatre at university.
See, I mean, this world is small.
No. 2 degrees of separation. Literally. Welcome to the industry.
Often sometimes there's no degree. Yeah, it's just you just never were separate. Things like that happen. On that note, just we'll talk a bit more about Loving You in a second. Cool. I want to cross quickly to Jaco van Rensburg. How are you doing, Jaco?
Hello, Alan. Good, and you? Thanks for having me.
You know, as I said, I love having you on the show. I love chatting to Jaco van Rensburg. Jaco, top producer, top director, top choreographer. Actually, Craig, you and Jaco did Thoroughly Modern Millie together.
Yeah, we did. 2007, the year my daughter was born. Hello, Jaco.
We did indeed. It was hello, Craig. It was the first time we met.
Yes, we're talking about Debbie downstairs. You and Jaco were upstairs. Jaco was,
and after that we did Chicago together. He was
you guys
was in Chicago,
and now he's become Mr. Producer, really. And it's incredible the work that he's bringing into the industry.
Yeah, and you said there, top producer, top choreographer, top, but he's a top man. And
that's
and
true.
And he brings a humanity.
Oh, very kind. You are both hired.
You bring a a humanity to producing shows, which I think is beautiful, and you know that I love you, and the little bit I saw of the Simon and Garfunkel tribute yesterday, you were so amazing. I'm going to come watch as soon as Rocky Horror is finished. I'm going to come watch the whole thing. I thought it was fantastic.
Yay! Awesome.
On this note, very quickly, Jaco, Alice in Wonderland for the families happening at the small theatre upstairs at Monte Cassino. Tell us about it. Who's in it?
Yes, that's correct. So we are producing a very interesting four-hander version of Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
With a fantastic cast, directed by Nika Da Costa and adapted by her. And it really is tailored to get young people into the theater, to get sort of, I would say, senior primary school, what is that, standard 3 to, I'm giving away my age, grade 5 and up to sort of an entry into the theater. And the way she structured the show, it's so clever. She's making use of magic tricks for each scene. So each scene in this production will have some kind of magical element to it, because Alice in Wonderland is such a fantastical story that we felt it needed some sort of kind of production value and magical elements that'll get youngsters interested. So that's the route we're going, and it's a timeless tale. I mean, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, everybody's heard of it, and it seems to be doing really well. We've already sold out, I think, eight houses to schools and other groups of people who just saw it and flocked to it. So I hope that it'll be a great success.
The work that you and Wessel Urdendahl are doing is incredible. The last time he slept, by the way, was in 2016.
The last time Jaco had a good night.
He actually slept. He has not. But it's great to see that you've got Here's to You happening at the same time. And what else can we expect from you over the year, Jaco?
Right, so we've got quite a couple of things lined up. We are also doing a Paul Slavolepsky play. Wessel and I have sort of become known as the musical guys, and while we absolutely do love musical theater, we sort of wanted to dig into the serious drama. So this year we are reviving Suddenly the Storm with Paul Slab and
Charmaine Weir Smith.
Wonderful. And Renate Stierman. Yes, and Paul is actually in the play as well, so that's really cool, and that's going to be on the boards in the next month. at Peter Durin's Monte Casino Theater.
And that's also a return season, not for you, but for the play, Yaku, because it was done before, and they won lots of awards, and it was apparently phenomenal.
I think they did a Daphne's play,
that's
actually.
That's right.
Yeah.
It started at the market on the square, and now it's coming to Monty, finally. Yes.
Brilliant.
And also, this work has now become a prescribed work for drama students, so there's a reason to put it on, for people to see it, and to get youngsters into the theatre. That's Vessel and my big thing, is getting young people into the theatre and making them realise how exciting it can be.
Well, I love the work that you're doing. Alice in Wonderland, give us the dates, because we're running out of time a bit here.
All good. So Alice in Wonderland will be on the board in 2 weeks' time, and then it's running for 4 weeks at Peter Durin's Monte Casino Studio Theatre. Bookings are through CompuTicket. There are school and block booking discounts. Tickets from R100, so it's really affordable. If you've got youngsters, young nieces, young cousins, they will absolutely love it. It's a magical production.
I'm going to bring the kids to see it. It's always fun to bring the nephews. I've got 400. Excuse me, I've got 8 godchildren. Seriously, they'll
come. Okay. There's one house sold out for you.
Sold out.
And all the Lebanese cousins. Yay! Love the stuff that you're doing. Of course, Here's to You goes to Durban, and we'll chat to you as we go. You know, we're going to get you guys in studio as we go through the process. Yaku van Rensburg, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Alan. Have a good day.
And the magic work that they do. They really do fantastic stuff.
Awesome.
Loving You ends this week.
It ends on Saturday.
Perfect weekend to end.
Absolutely.
Because it's the weekend of love. Absolutely. Yeah, and I hope people, if you don't have things to do, especially if you're single and you want to mingle, rock it out. Seriously, rock it. Okay. If you want to hold hands and cuddle and maybe Loving You and Here's to You is just for, like, if you want to just bang. So it's just actually, Rocky, you can also.
There's no getting yourself out of it. All these shows will tick the boxes this Valentine's weekend. Yeah, we'll do it.
Don't miss the producers happening in Cape Town with Alan Committee and that phenomenal cast. Don't miss other great things happening. Of course, Brendan Van Rain, Gate 69. Got lots of other things happening. You can come back and have some fun, yeah.
I will come back.
I'm loving it. With you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
This is fun.
It's great being here. Yeah, I'll be back.
Continue to
famous last word.
Yeah, careful what you wish for.
Be careful. I'm looking for human jukeboxes. On that note, you know what? It's always good to leave with a great song. What is your favorite song ever to play and sing?
Favorite song ever? I've got a really sad, soppy for Valentine's Day polytone song that I really love.
Okay, let's hear it.
Baby Be Mine, a little something South African.
This is CliffCentral.com. We're closing the show with Daniel Geddes. Craig Abani, been great having you in studio.
Thank you.
Take it away. Let's hear it.
If I can remember the words.
If I asked you to lay with me, would you say you're not in the mood? If I asked you to pray, would you refuse? 'Cause my intentions aren't any good. In a world filled with thieves, killers and cheats, wanting you shouldn't be a crime. I'm not asking much, all I'm saying is baby be mine. Baby be mine. If I asked you to dance with me, would you lie and say you don't know how? If I sang you bad poetry, would your face crease into a frown? In a world filled with thieves, killers and cheats, wanting you shouldn't be a crime. I'm not asking much, all I'm saying is baby be mine. I'm not asking for promises, I'm not asking for promises of your hand. All that I'm saying is give me a chance. If I picked you wild flowers, would you say you're not that type of girl? If I stared at your photo for hours, would I be weird and out of this world? And billions of blue blistering barnacles, fantasies have gotta come true. And all that I ask is for a moment with you.
And on that note, have a great Valentine's Day. Lots of love to you all. And this is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.